Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grill House in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grill House has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grill House in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
Thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain.
Including in Tuca, trying to smash it into one
and
word.
And inform you in the afternoon.
Tuca puked on his pad.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Runner will take off, and there's a swing and a high fly ball. Deep left center, Benintendi has room. No, he's there. He makes the catch, and that will do it. The Red Sox get to 80 wins faster than anybody. Martinez with another monster night. Jackie Bradley with a home run. Mitch Moreland had a huge one as well. And the Red Sox take game number one. It goes extra innings, TC, but now 80-34.
All right, Red Sox win again. Best record in baseball by far. Another comeback win, scoring in the eighth on a big home run by J.D. Martinez, shaking off a blown save, winning in the tenth. Win, 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 win. Maz and Murray, how do you feel about the game?
Murray, you go first. I went first earlier. You go first.
Yeah, Murray, how'd you feel about that win?
Oh, I mean, it was another fun win. And boy, I had that word shoved down my throat in my Twitter mentions last night. Blah, why aren't you enjoying this? Blah, why are you and Maz such trolls? And why can't you enjoy this team? Blah, they're so fun. The Red Sox are so fun. Blah. I get it. Yeah, they are. It was a fun game to watch. This team mashes against terrible competition. Blue Jays and Orioles. Every time you look up, seems like they're playing them again. So am I going to get excited about them beating the bejesus out of the Blue Jays again? Not really, because I'm not going to stick my head in the sand when it comes to this team. Yes, they're fun. Yes, they're probably going to finish with 113, 114 wins or something ridiculous, and no, they won't have an asterisk on them. I've removed them. But how do you not look at that bullpen in last night's game and not be a little bit terrified about the potential of this team being out in the first round again for the third straight year? And it'll specifically be because of this bullpen and their inability to close close games. I mean, it's I get it. Like the your regular gutless bums like Matt Barnes, Joe Kelly, whoever is on there, and that Alex Cora lands on for the night. I can't trust any of those guys. Now Craig Kimbrell's a problem. Like that's what it feels like, and it hasn't just been last night. It's really been his last five or six outings. He feels like an issue too. So it feels like a little bit of a mess there that's not going to change. So you can keep busting my balls, Maz's balls on Twitter. You want to call in, blah, why are you enjoying this record-setting season for this team? Fine, it's been fun. But Dave Dombrowski's still not off the hook, in my mind. He never addressed this at the trade deadline when he completely should have. There are things that can be done. Maybe Eovaldi goes into the bullpen. Maybe David Price goes into the bullpen. One of these starters. Maybe that's what fixes this. But it's still an issue, and it's going to continue to be an issue, and it's ultimately, I think, what's going to be this team's undoing. The bullpen blows. But, oh, no, they're fun, though. They're fun. They're lots of fun.
Jim, you've removed the asterisk, but you still speak in asterisks.
I'm just speaking in the truth, Mike.
You're still telling me why they won't win. You're still telling me why they suck. There's a yeah but to you, and it's that bullpen, but it's hard to argue. After a night like last night, where basically every guy you brought in gave it up, right?
Yes, everyone gave up a run. Yep, everybody gave up a run. And so to me, the question is...
Which was everybody. Like, we say the wheel of gutless bums. Who's it going to be tonight? Last night was...
Jackpot. It was jackpot.
Joker. Everybody did.
Did you see Joe Kelly's pickoff throw in the center field?
I missed it.
Did you see it?
No.
He missed the bag by 15 feet. I mean, he wasn't even close. Like, it was into right center field, for crying out loud. It was a horrendous throw. So, like, I look at the whole thing and say, okay, because I agree with Murray. They're fun. They've been a fun team this year. They play with heart. They show up every night. No deficit's too big. You know, they come back all over and over and over again, and they've done it now three times in the last 5 days, for crying out loud. They did it in the opener against the Yankees. They did it in the finale against the Yankees. They did it in the first game in Toronto. So you look at it and go, wow. I mean, it is. Their competitiveness is impressive. And it's one of the things I questioned about them the last 2 years. And when it really amps up and other teams go to another level, do they have that gear? The question is whether you can win with just that in October.
And, so you're saying this team has it?
Yes, they have it. They have it. But I've seen other teams, Red Sox teams, have it and fail. And somewhere along the line in October, your bullpen's got to nail down a game. I mean, somebody's going to have to come in and get big outs against a good team, and you got to nail down games, and I don't know if this team can do it.
And that's what it just feels. Yeah, go ahead, Matt.
Go ahead, Murray. No, go.
No, it just feels like a dangerous way to live. Yeah, this is exciting. Comeback wins, winning in extras, and J.D. Martinez, you know, mashing another three-run bomb to put them ahead. But you can't. That's not sustainable. You can't win every single game like that. They're going to have to rely on the bullpen, like you just said, at some point, especially in the playoffs. So, fine, you know, asterisk removed for this regular season, they'll finish with this ridiculous record. But I don't know how you don't look at last night specifically and just be a little bit more than concerned, really, about the bullpen.
So I looked up a bunch of things this morning because I wanted to get some sort of assessment as to how many times the Red Sox have really put in pressure spots. Okay? And I looked up wins by one run and two runs. Right, low margin of victory wins. Okay, and they rank among the lowest in the major leagues.
Okay, so define that.
Meaning you only win a game by a run, you win a game by two runs. Your bullpen, in theory, is getting big outs late in the game.
They have the fewest amount of one run wins in the league.
Not the fewest. No, they're in the bottom 10 in baseball, though. And the counter to that is, well, of course they have the fewest
amount of one-run wins.
Right, because the offense is so good, they're winning games by four or five runs, which is generally true. Is that going to happen in October? I mean, are you going to just blow doors on everybody in October, whether including the Yankees and the Astros and whoever comes out of the National League? Not that I'm worried about that.
What you really need is your winning percentage in one-run games versus just the raw number. The raw number doesn't really tell me anything because they're just not in that situation enough. What's their percentage in one-run games?
So, look, overall, in one-run and two-run game, no, I looked up runs scored. I didn't look up their winning percentage. So, but I would tell you they just don't get put in the spot a lot.
Yes, that's true.
They don't get put in the spot a lot. And then you add Kimbrel on top of it. Kimbrel has had 34 saves and 38 opportunities this year, okay? But with a one-run lead, he's 13 for 17. That's 76.5%. If you're a closer and you're converting at that rate, that's bad. When it's a two or three run lead, he's 100%. He's 21 out of 21. And I don't think it's just because of the cushion. I think that he's a different pitcher in those spots. Even in tie games, they put him into five tie games this year. And he's, you know, he's given up in 4 2/3 innings, he's given up 6 hits and 4 walks. That's too many base runners. 10 base runners in fewer than 5 innings. I mean, that's a, you know, again, for the stat nerds, that's a whip over 2. That is not going to win you a lot of games in October. I mean, that is just playing with fire. So they can get away with it against Toronto, especially after the trade deadline when the Blue Jays have traded their closer. But are they going to be able to get away with that against the Iron in October? I don't know.
I don't know.
I just think the chances are less.
I'm just not sure how you don't have that takeaway after last night. You know, and the thing about, to this point, it's been, well, just get to Kimbrel. Figure out how to get to Kimbrel. Now do you actually put Kimbrel on the list of things that you're worried about? Are you there yet with Craig Kimbrel?
Yes. I mean, now look, am I doing something drastic about it? No.
He's your closer.
I mean, you're stuck there. I say stuck. It's not a bad alternative. Kimbrel's a good pitcher, and he's a good closer. But I don't think he's lock, stock, and barrel in October either compared to the guys they've had in championship years. Folk that year was awesome. Papelbon, we know. And Uehara was ridiculous in 2013. This guy doesn't do it with quite the same efficiency that those guys do. Now, at the end of the day, the efficiency doesn't matter. It's a pass-fail exam. Okay? You either close the game or you don't. And last night he failed. Overall this year, he's converted. But I think the tighter the game, the worse he pitches.
Okay.
And that's what worries me.
Your thoughts on this, Red Sox fans, at 617-779-0985. We'll mix these calls and our Patriots discussion. Again, chill Belichick and the easy training camp continues today. Greg Bedard wonders at the Boston Sports Journal, are they also managing an injury to Tom Brady, a mild injury to Tom Brady's throwing arm? All that on the table with you right after these words.
Something.
Come back and put it in my face.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Felger and Mass.
They suck.
On Boston's home for sports.
Matt Barnes.
Oh.
Heath Henry.
Doc.
Joe Kelly.
Oh.
And those other guys.
It's time to spin the wheel of gutless bums. Red Sox manager Alex Cora is faced with a tough decision. Who to use in a high leverage situation late in the game. Now, let's spin.
Kimbrel, right, Thornton, 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 Kimbrel, right, Thornton,
Barnes, Brazos, Pointer, Kimbrel, Thornburg, Kimbrel. And today's Gutless Bum is the Jackpot of Song.
Travis edging off second with one away. And another play on. He throws it into the outfield. Travis up heading to third base. He will stop there. Joe Kelly with a throwing error. Red Sox made two errors in the inning. Knocks that one toward the alley. Rookie Betts won't get it. And he'll take a hop up against the wall. Solari rounding third. He's going to try and score, and he will. And a two-base hit by Maley to cut the Red Sox lead to one.
Just stays right on top of that fastball out over the middle from Barnes.
Well, the 3-0 pitch. There's a shot. Driven deep. Back it goes. It is gone. Of late for Craig Kimbrel. He has blown a save here tonight, and we are dead even. They're up by five here in the 10th inning. Tyler Thornburg coming out of the bullpen, and many of the Blue Jay fans have long since vacated Rogers Center.
Ooh.
There's a high deep drive left field. You can kiss this one goodbye. That's gone into the second level. Pilar tags it. That'll make it 10-7. So they keep on swinging it.
The Wheel of Gutless Bums, once again, last night was played, and the winner was Jackpot. Murray, this is a call specifically for you. Michael in New Bedford, his comment line says, why is everyone so critical of the Red Sox? Why can't we just enjoy it? Michael, go ahead.
Yes, this is what I'm saying. We have the best team in the Major League Baseball series. Why can't we just enjoy it? Why is everybody trying to critique it? Everybody wants to take something and make it a little bit better, and they want to twist and twine and turn it. When you should just sit back and watch the game and love the beautifully formality of the game and just enjoy it. Just enjoy that we have the best team in the Major League Baseball and stop being such a critic, because that's not what you're getting paid for. I'm a cook. I don't get paid to be a critic. I love my team. We have the winningest teams combined with the New England Patriots, the Boston Celtics, and the list goes on of great plays that come out of Boston. Why can't we just sit back and enjoy the fact that we have a winning team? Why does everybody have to pick and twine on the fact of the little things that may be giving us a downfall? Why is that everybody's mind state right now?
Michael, thank you for the call. I appreciate it. Murray, do you care to respond?
Yeah, because I'm mostly a negative person, and I've seen failure far too many times in my life as a sports fan, and this team has a massive flaw in that bullpen. Here's an equivalent. He said he was a cook. Maybe he's a damn good cook. If I saw that guy, say I worked with him, or I went to the restaurant he works at, and I saw him go into the bathroom, same time I did, and not wash his hands. He goes back into the kitchen. I'm waiting for my meal. The whole time, I'm thinking, man, I really want that meal, but that cook didn't wash his hands. So I scarf the meal down, but I'll be thinking the next time I come back, maybe the next time it's not just a leak he takes, it's something else, and he doesn't wash his hands. I'll be thinking, this is flawed. It's a flawed meal. Just like the Red Sox, it's a flawed team. They're flawed. They're fun. They're great. They're fun. They've been a blast to watch, especially when they're beating up on crap teams like the Blue Jays. But I don't know how you don't look at last night and not have a strong concern going forward, thinking that you can't trust anyone in that bullpen. And now Craig Kimbrel to an extent, too. Like, look, I don't know what the hell they can do about it. Maybe put one of these starters in there. Maybe that can help relieve the situation in terms of bridging someone to Kimbrel. But they all look real shaky right now. And that's a problem, especially when this team could end up finishing with 114, 115 wins, maybe the most in the history of the game, and then be out in the first round because you can't trust anyone on that Wheel of Gutless Bums. Oh, but I'm the bad guy because I look at last night and I don't have enough fun watching it.
See, I would have used a different analogy. The guy said he's a cook. Right? What if he makes a great meal, but then the server trips and drops the tray on the way to the table?
I like Murray's analogy better. What if you got a great meal, but you knew he didn't wash his hands in the crapper? So the next time you go in, I mean, you won. It was a great meal, but the next time, what's coming down the pike?
You're right. Wondering.
All a matter of time before you get that E. coli poisoning from that guy. Man, good cook, but he has a problem with washing his hands.
Mike and Natick, what do you got for us on the Red Sox? Hi, Michael.
Oh, God, you guys. I mean, God forbid we should have a 90-win season. We're having the best season ever. I'm with this guy. This is better than a fun team. You guys dumb it down by saying, oh, they're just a fun team. Come on. They're better than that. They're not.
No, they're good.
And they're not coachy, but they're better than that. And you guys just want to be right. I don't know what you predicted, how many games. I never heard the league being so bad, when it was spring training. And now you dumb everything down because everybody stinks. I just don't get it. As far as, you know, the point about bringing someone in, Evaldi's most sampling, but low walk percentage, comfortably throws 98 miles per hour, seems comfortable out there, small sampling so far.
So Mike.
You've got to make the choice. Mike, he has the best stuff.
Michael, why do you want to move Evaldi to the bullpen?
I don't. I'm conflicted. I thought Matt said earlier that, hey,
No. Do you think they need to move someone to the bullpen?
Well, they have a lot of starters. They're going to have to move someone. They're going to have to move someone out there, but they have a lot of starters.
Let me try again. Do you think the bullpen needs help?
Yes.
Oh,
there you go.
Well, was that so hard?
No, not so hard. See, that's the thing is everybody, this is raining on their parade. Like they all want to enjoy the team, and you can enjoy it if you want. Don't let me ruin it for you. You should be able to enjoy it. But the reality is, you know, you look at them and you know, you say, it's a hard way to win. So just out of curiosity, I went to look it up in 2013, Uehara and Tozawa. Okay, they each pitched in 13 games.
Postseason games.
Correct. Postseason games. You know how many earned runs they allowed?
Oh, my God. Two?
One each.
Oh, thank you. I was right.
One each. And in 21 innings combined, they walked one guy. One guy. So, like, they were lights out, really, in the postseason. And I look at this group and I see way too many walks. Way too many walks. And again, go back to the game last week against Philadelphia. The one that they won in 13 innings, they walked a guy or two. It felt like every inning. They were always putting men on base. What happens when they're doing that against teams like lineups, like New York and Houston, when they're healthy?
What happens when the cook goes into the bathroom, takes a dump, and doesn't wash his hands?
Right on.
Alan in Florida. Go ahead, Alan.
Yeah, first of all, Murray, I'd like to know where you go for a good dinner. Anyway, you know, we're talking about the Red Sox bullpen, and I'm the first one to admit it stinks. But I want to point out a little something else. Did anyone, Maz, I mean, you look at box scores, I hope. I mean, did you see the great Zach Britton that you guys were dying to have? This is great.
He blew a save last night.
Oh, yeah, just a two-run home run to the horrible White Sox, who are worse than Toronto. And the great Chapman, they couldn't even pitch him because he's still in shock from the other night. There's one guy that comes in, like I told you yesterday, Betances. Well, other than that, they have huge problems in this great, great Yankee bullpen. Now you take Houston. They were so desperate that they had to get an abuser, you know, and cause dissension on the whole team. And now you have your team that you like, the Indians, who plays that horrible division that they're in 18 times with these horrible teams that don't have the record of the Red Sox. And they have Miller, who you don't know if he can pitch again this year. And, you know, so let's just call it the way it is. The Red Sox,
Alan,
are in better.
The fact that the Yankees have a bad bullpen makes it okay, or that their bullpen
means you have a good one?
Right.
No.
The fact that their bullpen is struggling makes it okay?
I didn't say that, but I'm saying you're making it say when they have this lineup. So we know what they need, and you don't think between now and August 31st that they're going to go and get a left-handed reliever,
No, I don't.
I do.
Well, I mean, we were talking about this before. It's the waiver deadline, right? So the Red Sox with the best record in baseball have the last claim, which means whoever they trade for, Alan, can be blocked by anyone on top of them, which means New York can block it, Houston can block it, Cleveland can block it, and I think they're automatically going to block anyone good coming to the Red Sox.
No, because then they get stuck with them, and money talks. You know, the Yankees can't get any more players. They don't want to spend. They don't want to go over the luxury. They don't want to spend any more money.
And the Red Sox, too?
Alan, they're way under. The Yanks are way under that luxury tax. They ended at like 197 or something.
Yeah, they're below.
They're way below. So they have the money to block. In the worst case scenario, that the player isn't pulled back and they have to assume the salary, they can assume the salary. You may be right on Cleveland that if there's someone coming through waivers with money, that Cleveland can't do it. Fair enough. Houston has the means to do it now and the real motivation to do it, direct competition, and New York. New York and Houston can block any trade to you. So I don't think you're getting anything at this waiver deadline.
Yeah, and you know, when he says teams don't want to be stuck with the money, to the Red Sox? Like, I don't think the Red Sox want to take on a bad contract just to get a guy for, you know, 4 weeks.
Murray, give us an update, and we'll come back and continue with your Red Sox thoughts on the Wheel of Gutless Bums. And Brady nursing an injury. Get back to that story right after this.
Boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Felger and Mass.
That's awesome. Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Well, the 3-0 pitch. There's a shot. Driven deep. Back it goes. It is gone. On 3-0, he launched it. And has tied the game at 5.
So there's a Kimbrel home run. He's backslid the last, I don't know, month or so. And his track record in one run saves versus multiple run saves, much different story. So is that on the list of worries now? Guy that you previously had in the bank probably as, you know, something to feel good about, or starting to worry about that. Meanwhile, I teased the Brady thing. Let me just give it to you again. This is what we hit on earlier today. Greg Bedard on Boston Sports Journal wrote that if the passing offense starts slow, that Bill Belichick should take the blame, not Tom Brady, because they've gone exceedingly slow here in camp. Like, normally, and I still will, you'd blame Tom Brady for getting off to a slow start because he skipped all spring and, you know, didn't put in the same work in the offseason that he normally does, and so he starts slow. That's on him because he, you know, wasn't the same guy in the offseason. Bedard says, well, you know, what's happening now at training camp is not Brady's fault, and what's happening at training camp is they're not putting in any work. It's not like Belichick has given him a lot of chances to knock the rust off. Very few padded practices. Brady's had a bunch of days off, really light throwing days, and basically, you know, has gotten a real slow start in camp because Bill's gotten the whole team off to a slow start in camp. So if they start slow, it's Bill's fault. It's not Brady's. He says, well, in fact, and he wrote this morning, so that doesn't include today, but today was another light day. It was a walkthrough. They were in pads, but it was a walkthrough, and Brady skipped the final three sessions. So, but anyway, Bedard wrote this morning that in 9 days since July 29th, Brady has had only two moderate throwing days, August 1 and August 2, and that's it. He says July 30th was the stadium practice, which was a glorified walkthrough. July 31st was an off day before 2 days of practice. Then Brady was given veteran rest on Friday and Saturday. Then the team had 2 days off on Sunday and Monday where there was no practice. And then Tuesday was another light day. So Bedard says, say whatever you want about the offseason practices, but the much bigger deal, at least in terms of getting on the same page, is training camp. And for whatever reason, Belichick hasn't decided to do that yet, has not decided to practice them at the pace that they would need to get on the same page. So if they're not on the same page, that's Belichick's fault, according to Greg. He said the only legitimate excuse for why Brady has thrown just twice in over a week is if they are managing an injury with the 41-year-old. And that's not totally out of the question. Bedard writes that there was a practice recently that he didn't write down, so he's not sure which one it was, but he thinks it was the stadium practice. But there was a practice recently where he saw that Brady was shaking his throwing arm out after making a handful of throws. Bedard says it's quite possible that his dramatic decrease in workload was as a result of this. So, that's just what we discussed. So, if they get off to a slow start, is it really Belichick's fault? What if they're slow in camp because Brady has a dead arm or tired arm or sore arm because he wasn't doing the regular work in the spring, and so he's not exactly ready to go in the summer, and so everything has had to be held back because Brady's arm isn't ready? Is that possible? I mean, Bedard doesn't connect those dots, but I will.
Yeah, if that's what happened, that part of it's on Brady. But if Brady came in ready to go and Bill's putting on the brakes, you're telling me Bill gets no criticism here?
He absolutely does. If they get off to a slow start. Right. Nope, he does. That's true. That's true. So why is he putting the brakes on? Is he putting the brakes on just that was the plan no matter what because they've played so much football the last 4 years? Is it because now Brady's got a sore arm, so we're not going to push him, and we're just going to go easy on the whole thing? Does he have some sort of, you know, personal ulterior little motive nagging at him that we discussed earlier, having some fun with? Like, if Brady and Gronkowski are going to complain about camp and practice not being a lot of fun, and it's not very, you know, Gronkowski wants to be free and be happy, and Brady wants to be happy and, you know, enjoy going to work, does Belichick say in the back of his mind, all right, guys, fine, we'll bang it. Take 2 days off. Take 3 days off. You guys don't even have to work out. Because Brady and Gronkowski specifically have been given veteran days while the other guys have been working.
Correct.
So is that Belichick saying, all right, fine, go ahead. Let's be free. Let's be free and be fun, and let's be happy, guys.
I would say for Bill, that's an ancillary benefit. I mean, and I'm not saying he doesn't want it. I'm just saying that I think, again, I said this to you yesterday, I think you agree that I think the driving force is the three Super Bowl trips in 4 years and the grind that has on a team.
Yes.
And so I think that that is number one. But if Bill can also back everybody off and they're a little sloppy at the beginning of the year and then they get pissed off about it, Bill can look at him and say, well, I thought you wanted it this way. I thought you guys wanted to have fun. You wanted something a little less intense, a little more relaxing, a little more fun. Isn't this what you wanted? This is what you said. So now, no, the losing's not fun? Is that the deal? Is that what you're telling me? So I think he will revel in that opportunity if he can say that to them. He will revel in it. But I think the bigger thing is that he's slowing it down. And honestly, I think the driving force for slowing it down is the quarterback. The more I think about it, he's 41 years old. The last time they won the Super Bowl, he missed the first four games of the year last year. Everybody talked about how much of a benefit it would be to Brady in the long run, the suspension, because his body wouldn't be able to hold up anymore. And then, I know, I'm an ass, but the last 5 weeks of the year last year, Brady didn't play well. He didn't. And the play picked up in the postseason when he got 2 weeks off before two of the playoff games, before the Super Bowl and the first one against Tennessee. So, you know, to me, I think there's an easy line to draw there if you're Bill.
Okay. In the meantime, in the short term, feels like they've already just cooked in a slow start. I don't know. And this I feel so stupid even for what I'm about to say. But, you know, what the hell? To bet preseason games, you have to be some kind of moron or an addict, right? I mean, you bet preseason football, you're a moron or you're an addict. You got a problem.
Agreed.
But what's the line tomorrow night? I want the Skins. I don't know how. I mean, how do the Patriots play this game? They've barely practiced. I mean, really? They've barely been out here. And Brady can't play a lot. I don't think. I don't know whether he's got a sore arm or not. He's barely thrown a pass in anger. And they don't have anybody. They haven't practiced. Like, how are they going to? I don't know. So, like, get Joey the Nose on the horn. I want the Redskins.
The Patriots got to be favored, right?
The preseason games are always -3. And back in my gambling days, I don't know what it is now, but I remember back in my gambling days, it was always 3. Like, preseason games are always 3. 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, no matter what. So, I don't know. Murray, look it up. Get me a bookie. I want the Skins tomorrow night.
I mean, this
how about
year?
I just DM Lifshatz on Twitter? He should
thank
know.
You. I mean, you know what I mean.
Yeah,
yes.
Good way to do it. Yeah, I can give you a couple of other guys if you want to
go
DM
get me the
too.
Number. That's what I want.
But the game I want to watch more so than usual is the third preseason game. They're at Carolina. If they go in there and get absolutely planted in the ground by the Panthers, Bill is going to show up the next day doing cartwheels. See? You guys wanted fun? You got fun. You go down to Carolina, you get your ass kicked. You guys want to get to work now? Like, to me, that's the one, like, I want to see if by then, if they look out of sorts and out of whack against Carolina... And all these donkeys who are calling us, defending Belichick and Brady, they'll get all pissed off too. You mark my words.
I always like the first preseason game. It's a game that I don't know, football's back. It's always the one that I pay the most attention to. And I know it's one of the most meaningless, but I don't know. I've always liked the first preseason game to the point where I'm going to bet it. Here's Dan and Quincy. What do you got, Dan, on the Red Sox?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Well, luckily, was that John Henry and Tom Warner that called in last segment? Said, oh, we got to have fun. Everyone just have fun with this team.
Right.
Didn't want anything. We got knocked out the first round last 2 years. I think the problem, though, it's a slippery slope is oftentimes you say, show me this team, how they come back in victory. But they're putting themselves in that position where the bullpen is letting up the lead. It's not like the starters are letting up 5 runs and they're coming back throughout the game. They're winning these games, and the bullpen is putting them in a position to look like these heroes that everyone's so happy for. But in reality, it's the team that's doing it to themselves. So they should have won that game. They should have won that game with Craig Kimbrell in the ninth. That's the closer. He's the best closer in baseball. He's a future Hall of Famer. I hear this from Alex Cora every other day.
Well, let me stop you because I don't love your phone. But again, so, like, how fun is it when your closer blows another game?
Yeah, it's a good point. That you know, in some cases, they're creating their own drama. And so just because they end up overcoming it, I mean, it didn't have to be that difficult in the first place. Now, at the end of the day, a win is a win is a win. Fine. I just think that's a hard script to pull off in October. Again, the team that sticks out to me that tried to do it that way was the 03 Red Sox. And you know what Theo did back then? He acquired any reliever that wasn't nailed down, and they still didn't win it. It bit them in the ass in October, along with a manager who was shell-shocked from his bullpen, you know, that whole season. But I just think it's a hard way to live, man. It's a hard way to live. And so sooner or later, you got to find someone you can rely on. And Cora right now doesn't feel like, to me, like he believes in anybody in the eighth inning.
Wayne
right.
and Grafton. Oh, I'm sorry, Murray. Go ahead, please.
Well, I got that number for you from Dan Lifshatz. The Patriots are 3-point favorites. They opened at 4.5-point favorites. 70% of the preseason bet is on the Skins. And he also says, tell Felgary square for me, LOL.
Love it. Okay, Lifshatz, I'll be talking to you later.
I can't believe there are people that bet these games.
Oh, I'm betting this one. I'm pounding the Skins. Pounding them. Again, I don't know what the Redskins have done this summer and what they've, but at least they had to have practiced a few times. And the Patriots have barely practiced. They've barely done anything, just reading these reports. And it's just unusual. It was a walkthrough today, but they were in pads. So, like, I don't know. I mean, what can I tell you? Pound the Skins. I love the first preseason game. I really do. Wayne and Grafton, what's up, buddy?
I always say pound the Skins. But anyway, we have to, worry about the lightning strikes that you're having there. I mean, that's going to help you jump your junk. But you, look at Minkiewicz. He missed four games. What happened? He came back. He sucked. Now, Edelman, what happens when he comes back? Hopefully he doesn't suck. And Murray, you took my spot. You messed up my mind. So I hope your shots get messy tonight.
That was one I had no idea what Wayne and Grafton was talking about.
He was all over the map.
Minkiewicz?
I think you meant Ninkovich.
I think Ninkovich. So, but this is another thing, like a concern level with the Patriots. Yes, Edelman will come back, but he's 31, he's coming off an ACL, and he can't do steroids anymore. Like, I just have a hard time thinking he's going to get better than what he was, off of steroids and with a bad knee and another year older. That's just, I don't know. I don't know if he's going to suck, but how could he possibly be the same guy? I don't see it. I worry about what he's going to look like off the sauce.
And I worry about the ripple effect on Gronk, too, because no Edelman means that they're going to have to lean on Gronk a little bit more. And so what type of damage do you do to him in the process?
Here's Bob in the car on the Red Sox. Hi, Bob.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good.
Hello?
Yes, Bob, you're on the air. Please. Yes,
okay,
we're here.
Sorry. Easy. So, listen, Hooper Ant last night on the mound, did he not look like he didn't want to be there? Come on. He needs to go. And not just to the bullpen and join the rest of the dumpster fire. He needs out the door, back to San Diego. See you later.
Bob, I'm going to let you go with that. Does Pomerantz have a guaranteed roster spot in the postseason?
I don't think he does, no. I was just looking it over because someone brought this up earlier in the day. And, you know, in terms of how many spots are there going to be, last year they carried 11 pitchers. So if they do the same thing, and look, they have a different manager, so who knows? Maybe Cora has a different preference. But if they do the same thing, I don't see how Pomeranz makes a team. I don't. I mean, not with the way he's pitched. You know, again, I could rattle them all off for you.
No, but do it, because I think there's names on there that I don't want over Pomeranz.
Okay, so the five starters that one way or another right now will absolutely be on the team, either as a starter or reliever, Sale, Price, Eovaldi, Eduardo Rodriguez, and Porcello.
Right, and one of those guys is going to be in the pen.
Right, but they'll all be active. And then you have Kimbrel, Barnes, Kelly, Thornburg, Brazzers, Hembry.
Okay. Why is Brazzers on here and not – is this Brazzers?
Brazier.
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 Brazier's is something else, isn't it?
Yes.
That's what Jimmy refers
that?
To him as. Yeah, I think he might have been out.
That.
Oh,
yeah.
That's what
– You missed that. Sorry. Yeah, Brazzers.
That's what Jimmy refers to him as?
Yeah.
I'm like, that sounds familiar. That is what I think it is, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So anyway, what's his real name?
Brazier.
Why is Brazier on the team and not – Pomerantz.
Well, I think they like him.
Who's got a higher ceiling? Who's a better pitcher?
Cora's been pitching him in
Who's
the eighth
Who's a better pitcher?
This year? Brazier.
Brazzers.
Yes. Brazzers. Pomerantz sucks, Mike. Okay, now look, if you want to tell me you want to stick him in the bullpen and see what it looks like, fine. Let's see what it looks like. But I'm telling you, if it ended today, there's no way he'd be on the playoff roster.
Okay, we'll pick this up
tomorrow
at 2. Coming up next is the final word. You don't want to miss it.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio, crazy.
Naz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Naz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Naz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And the final word is brought to you by Town Fair Tires. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, there is only one place to go. Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody.
And just real quick, I've been corrected again. My friend Vin, I'm not going to tell you his last name. I want to protect his identity because it is a gambling point. But apparently, sharp bettors love the preseason.
That's what he said, yeah.
Yeah, the sharps.
It's a big preseason. You know, there's a big betting opportunity for those in the know.
I mean, that makes no sense to me. Anyway.
Bob, and again, what do I know? All I know is pound the Redskins tomorrow night.
Well, okay, on that, you know, maybe one of my favorite things that occurs on the show from time to time is when we get to learn more about the neuroses of one Mike Felger, you know, the things that make you real paranoid. And it doesn't happen often, but man, when it does, they're whoppers. Like today, as we found out, as Felger and Maz are broadcasting from Gillette Stadium for the afternoon practice today, and ooh, a scary storm came blowing through. Ooh, thunder and lightning. Ooh.
Honestly, if we're not safe here, I'm going to go run inside like a little child, like a dog cowering underneath the bed. I can't stand lightning. Can you imagine getting hit by lightning? How much that would hurt?
Yeah, I don't think you'd even be aware of it after the fact.
No, I don't want it. I don't want to get hit by lightning. Are we safe or are we exposed?
Harass Murray.
Okay, scientists, we know all you guys are so horny to tell us what you know about science. Tell us, what, Murray?
Leave me alone with that one, you and your kooky phobias. You're fine, you big baby.
Oh, wait, you want to get hit by lightning?
Yeah, because if I survive it, I'm going to have superhuman powers and be able to shoot lightning out of my fingers like the Emperor in Star Wars. Bring it on.
No, you will. You'll be a metahuman.
From at Caroline Chelsea, saying, my boyfriend is a lightning engineer in aerospace and said that they are safe. You guys are safe as long as they are within the metal structure and all electronics are grounded with surge protectors.
Are all our electronics grounded with surge protectors, Charlie? Dave?
Okay, so those guys all just put their thumbs up, which I can tell them where to put their thumbs because I don't believe it.
We're in an outdoor metal box 200 feet in the air, and there's lightning all over the place.
There's another gentleman here who says he's a 103 IBEW electrician. Tell Felga, stop being a baby. He even spelt it F-E-L-G-A. Tell Felga, stop being a baby. You're grounded, and getting hit only hurts for a second.
Oh, really? My view of lightning is like, I don't think you get a second chance with it, but, you know, what do I know?
Aren't there stories of people who are, like, blind that get hit by lightning and get their vision back?
I don't care. I'm not worried about
it. I'm just saying, in your case, you could actually end up smart.
Okay, so I just was inside, and there were some security guys who went inside. If there was a game going on right now, they'd clear the stadium. They'd stop the game and make everyone go inside. I'm just curious, does this constitute inside?
Oh, put some napkins on your legs. You'll be fine.
I mean, I'm sorry. We are 200 feet in the air. We are in a metal cage. I mean, you can turn the cameras around, but like, it's like this metal railing, this metal rim tent, huge iron thing. We're in this metal cage, 200 feet in the air, and there's lightning going off all around us. That doesn't concern you one little bit?
No, not really, no. Because I think on the roof of the stadium, they'd have a lightning rod. What I did like about that segment, though, is that we had one caller from aerospace. And then...
one guy from the local IBW.
The IBW, so I want to know. Is that the same guy that was doing the IBW ads way back when? Like, yeah, hi, this is Marty from the IBW. You guys are safe. Oh. Okay. Yeah, now that you said that,
well,
I'm fine.
But listen... if we're safe here, how come then they clear the stadiums out during lightning storms? I've been in a game like that. I'm sure we all have. Where there's lightning in the area, they stop the game and we all have to go into the concourses. Why do they? If the stadium is safe, why do they have to clear them out of the seats?
Well, but that is usually a severe lightning storm.
What do you think this was?
You think that was severe?
It was lightning all around us, dude.
Oh, my God. You are such a sissy.
There's lightning all around us.
Seriously, though.
It was going off right on top of
you
us.
You think this compares to, like, a lightning storm in Tampa or Kansas City?
They would have cleared the stadium.
Oh, you're out of your mind.
They would have cleared the stadium.
No, they wouldn't have, because it didn't last long enough.
They would have lasted all afternoon.
No, it didn't. It lasted, like, 5 minutes.
They would have cleared the stadium. Trust me. I've been in this situation before.
Tell you what. Why don't you go home tonight and just turn out the lights and hide under the blankets?
You know, you can get hit by lightning in your home. You can go right through, right into your bed, zap you right there.
So just wear sneakers to sleep. Rubber shoes.
Oh, I freaking hate lightning. I freaking hate it. Oh, God, it gives me...
Wear flippers.
Oh, my God. I get so freaked out. I hate running to my car when there's lightning out. Don't you? Don't you like when it's lightning out and you run through the parking lot and it's pounding rain and the lightning is all over the place? Aren't you like hunched over? Like, don't hit me. Don't hit me. Don't hit me.
No, not really. No.
Oh, I am.
No.
Oh, my God.
It's because you're paranoid.
Oh, I freaking hate it. All right. I'm sorry.